Track 7, Implanting False Memories. On the last track, we discussed the family stance and the family trance, as well as how the two techniques of the other family exercise and the family mottos exercise can be used to bring awareness of where the guilt associated with the abuse comes from. This track deals with implanting false memories of sexual abuse that may result in the client feeling that the fabricated abuse was their fault. As you know, in therapy, clients are generally told that they are expressing characteristics of a repressed memory, possibly one of sexual abuse. Since the suggestion is backed by probability, the client is much more susceptible to unconsciously inventing a false memory. Do you agree? Generally, these probabilistic suggestions can be exceedingly strong. Take, for example, Bass and Davis's statement on repressed memory. So far, no one, according to Bass and Davis, we've talked to, thought she might have been abused and then later discovered that she hadn't been abused. The progression always goes, according to Bass and Davis, the other way, from suspicion to confirmation. If you think you were abused and your life shows the symptoms, then you were abused, according to Bass and Davis. Such philosophy only reinforced Joey's own memory manipulation. Joey, age 9, will be discussed later on this track. As you know, memory recovery techniques, also known as MRT, are popular in therapy. As Lindsay and Reed noted, these techniques, which increase the demand on Joey to be discussed later, to recover memories of abuse, can often lead to false memory generation. Also, the desire to heal symptoms contributes greatly to a client's belief that sexual abuse occurred because the client exhibits these symptoms, and these symptoms resemble those related to childhood sexual abuse. The only way to be cured is to surface the repressed memory. On this track, we will examine the four key factors involved in false memory generation. Those four factors are social demands, consideration of the source, self-knowledge, and integration of the false events. In addition, we will discuss the influence therapy may have in fabrication of these false memories. As you may have experienced, humans have an inept ability to alter their own memory in favor of extraneous or unrelated suggestions. This influence can be as mundane as tiny details in an unimportant story or video. However, in cases of sexual abuse, influences are not as readily accepted because these memories are not just an event played out, but they are personally involving and emotionally arousing. There are several key factors that contribute to false memory creation. First, social demands have a large effect on the client's drive to force themselves to remember a false memory. While in therapy, Joey, age 9, felt that he had to perform well for the therapist and recover the memories that he was supposed to remember. As a result of this pressure, he unconsciously remembered details that had never actually taken place in order to meet the demands set by treatment. Joey was also a victim of false memory manipulation. He was referred to me by a school counselor who stated Joey had said that his father abused him. He used the abuse as a way to explain his failing school grades. When Joey was 4, his parents divorced and a custody battle for Joey ensued. In order to ensure that she would obtain full custody of her son, Joey's mother, Carol, implanted a false memory into the impressionably young Joey. She took him to a therapist under the guise that he had been abused by his father, Jim. Carol told the therapist that Joey could not recall any of the memories of the abuse, but she stated she knew for a fact Jim had abused Joey. While in treatment, Joey was frequently encouraged to recall these memories that he supposedly was repressing using memory recovery techniques. While at home, Carol told Joey over and over again that his father was a bad man and that he had touched Joey inappropriately on several occasions. Joey quickly integrated the false events into his own consciousness, making it a part of his memory. During the custody hearings, Joey replayed to the lawyers explicit details of the alleged abuse, details that his mother had not even told him. Joey had completely absorbed the false memory. Since Joey lacked many of the symptoms normally prevalent in sexually abused survivors, except that of failing grades, I started to consider the possibility of false memory integration. I interviewed Joey about the abuse and asked him to physically visualize in his mind the exact events surrounding the abuse. Joey revealed that he could not recall actually visualizing recollections of the abuse. Further investigations revealed that while at the hearing, Joey had occasionally been encouraged by his mother, who made suggestive comments such as, "Remember when Daddy touched you in your room?" Joey then would respond appropriately. This seemingly staged account and lack of symptoms ultimately led to the conclusion of a false memory integration. A second factor involved in false memory creation is the consideration of the source. If the source seems reliable, the client is more likely to consider whether or not the event had actually taken place. In Joey's case, his mother and the initial therapist's encouragement was the source of the false memory. Because he was 4 during the manipulation, he was much more vulnerable to false memory suggestion. The fact that his mother could be lying to him never entered his undeveloped mind. In addition to social demands and considering the source, thirdly, when Joey began to consider whether his memory of his father was true or false, the initial therapist had Joey discuss his knowledge of the event in terms of Joey's own self-knowledge. I began to ask Joey where the abuse had taken place, what time of day the event most likely took place, and even minute details such as the shirt he could have been wearing at the time. By this time, Joey had constructed a memory that involved both false events and accurate self-knowledge. Now that we've examined the key points of social demands, consideration of the source, and integration of self-knowledge, let's look at the fourth key, the importance that repetition played in the implantation of false memory. The repetition of the false event by Joey's mother, Carol, weakened Joey's ability to monitor his own reality. Most clients do not question an image that periodically appears at the forefront of their mind. They simply accept it as a memory. Normally, this kind of monitoring helps clients determine if a false memory is truly accurate or not. However, Carol's constant reiteration of the abuse skewed Joey's mind to reconsider the reality of the event and ultimately led to his incorporation of the false memory. Other more direct approaches by the therapist to recover false memories might only encourage a client to incorporate self-knowledge into the false memory, thus confirming the reality of the false memory. In accepting false events, Burke has found that children are less likely to integrate negative false events than positive ones. Obviously, therefore, incidences such as the specifics of childhood sexual abuse can be hard to fabricate in the mind of the child. In therapy, however, conditions are just right, as you know, to induce a child like Joey, or sometimes even an adult, into thinking that they were the survivor of sexual abuse. The authority of the therapist may also contribute to false memory creation in therapy. When a therapist suggests the possibility of abuse, clients tend to assume that there must be some reason for this suggestion. These suggestions can also be accompanied by scientific information and therefore interpreted as indisputable facts. Also, in Joey's case, the wish to please the initial therapist and his mother as authority figures pushed Joey even further to recall a memory that had not occurred. Likewise, group therapy can contribute in a similar way. The sharing of stories, coupled with the emotional need to belong, is a strong instigator for memory fabrication. On this track, we examined the four key factors involved in false memory generation, which could result in creating false situations where the client may feel the abuse had occurred and they were at fault. These factors in false memory generation are social demands, consideration of the source, integration, and self-knowledge, as well as repetition. Question 7. What are the four key factors involved in false memory generation regarding sexual abuse? This CD has covered the following topics related to the client's feeling that the abuse was their fault. The topics of dreams, guilt and feelings of responsibility, desexualization, grieving losses, play therapy, family stance and family trance, and false childhood memories. I hope you have found the information on this CD to be both practical and beneficial. We appreciate that you have chosen the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com, as the means for receiving your continuing education credit. Consider us for future home study at www.homestudycredit.com. A few of the other home study courses we offer are Setting Clear and Ethical Boundaries with Clients, You Made Me Hit You, Intervention with Male Batterers, Interventions for Anxiety Disorders with Children and Adults, Sad is How I Am, Treating Dysthymia in Children and Adults, Ethically Treating PTSD Resulting from Terrorism and Other Traumas, Ethical and Cultural Issues Arising from the Psychology of Terrorism. But I Have Such a Great Catch, Treating Abusive Controlling Relationships. Ethics, Exploring Privacy and Confidentiality Gray Areas. Thank you, and I look forward to talking to you on another Home Study Course CD.